Welcome to another episode of Jamaican Gangster. On today's episode, we are featuring Liebert Ramcharan. If you are not following us, we would be honored if you would consider doing so. It costs you nothing to hit that button so that you will be notified every time we release a new episode. Now let's get into it. The United States government does not use the word kingpin lightly. The Foreign Narcotics Kingpin Designation Act was passed by Congress in the final months of 1999, modeled on the same legal architecture that had been used to dismantle the Cali and Medellin cartels. To be designated under that act, a target had to be identified at the highest tier of international narcotics trafficking, not a mule, not a mid-level distributor, not a corner enforcer with a connect. The designation was reserved for the architects, the logistics commanders, the men who move tonnage, not packages. Liebert Ramcharan was designated. His name went onto that list alongside cartel leaders, transnational trafficking organizations, and figures whose operations spanned multiple continents. He was not from Kingston. He did not come up through the garrison system, did not run a posse, did not carry the political affiliations that had shaped the generation of dons before him. He came from the North Coast, and on the North Coast, the rules were different. The question that runs beneath everything that follows is this: who was above him? A man who moves Colombian cocaine through Jamaican waters at the volume that drew a United States government designation does not build that alone. Somewhere in the architecture of his operation was a Colombian connection deep enough and powerful enough to make him the Jamaican end of something much larger. How far that connection ran and to whom it ultimately answered is a thread that the public record approaches but never fully closes. Montego Bay sits on the northwest edge of Jamaica, and it wears two faces with complete comfort. One face is the tourist economy, the all-inclusive resorts strung along the coast, the cruise ship terminals, the airport that brings in more international arrivals than any other entry point on the island. The other face is the waterfront that runs behind that economy, the smaller docks, the fishing communities, the maritime corridors where cargo moves without the scrutiny of the resort strip. The geography of Montego Bay is the geography of dual identity. Everything visible is curated for consumption. Everything underneath it moves on its own schedule. Ramcharan understood that geography. He built his operation inside the gap between those two faces, in the space where international logistics and local silence met. The north coast of Jamaica is not the same world as downtown Kingston. There are no garrisons in Montego Bay in the way West Kingston has garrisons. There are no political dons trading community control for electoral loyalty in the same visible, documented way. What the north coast has is port access, maritime routes, and a tourist economy that creates so much legitimate international movement that illegitimate international movement can find cover inside it. He ran cocaine, not marijuana, not crack distributed through street-level networks. Cocaine, in quantities that measured in tons, sourced from Colombian suppliers and moved through Jamaican waters toward the United States and other markets. The scale separated him immediately from the street-level traffickers who had dominated the Jamaican criminal narrative through the 1980s. The Shower Posse and the Spangler Posse had built their American operations on crack distribution, on garrison-to-diaspora networks, on Jamaican communities in New York and Miami and London as the retail end of a supply chain. Ramcharan was operating at the wholesale level. He was not the last mile. He was the transit corridor. Colombian cocaine coming out of South America needed to reach North American and European markets, and the Caribbean sat directly in the path between the source and the destination. Jamaica's position in the Caribbean, its coastline, its international airport infrastructure, its established diaspora networks, and the institutional limitations of its law enforcement capacity in the 1990s made it a natural transit point. Ramcharan did not create that geography. He read it, and he positioned himself as the man who could be trusted to move product through it reliably, at volume, without the chaos that made other Caribbean transit points unreliable. Reliability is the premium product in the cocaine trade. Cartels do not reward courage. They reward consistency. A trafficking partner who moves a ton without incident is worth more than one who moves 2 tons and loses half of it to seizure, theft, or arrest. Ram Charan built a reputation for operational discipline that reached the Colombian supplier tier. And that reputation is what elevated him from a regional trafficker to a figure significant enough to draw the attention of the United States Treasury Department and the Drug Enforcement Administration simultaneously. The North Coast communities around him knew something was different without knowing the specific shape of it. Fishermen on the waterfront learned which nights required them to be somewhere else. Small business owners understood that certain questions about certain men produced uncomfortable silences that lasted longer than the questions warranted. Mothers in neighborhoods adjacent to the operation told their children certain things without explaining why. The behavioral geography of his power was not garrison style, not enforced by armed men on corners. It was enforced by the understanding that what moved through those waters was connected to resources and protection at a level that made ordinary curiosity dangerous. That is the thing about a logistics kingpin that makes him fundamentally different from a street don. A street don is visible by design. His visibility is the threat. Ram Charan's power operated in the opposite direction. The less visible he was, the more effectively his operation ran. He was not building a legend, he was building a system. And then the United States government found the system. The Kingpin Act designation did not happen in isolation. It was the visible surface of an investigation that had been running underneath it for years. The DEA's Caribbean Division and its cooperation with Jamaican law enforcement and other regional agencies had been mapping the North Coast Corridor, identifying the financial flows, tracing the maritime routes, and building the evidentiary architecture that a federal prosecution requires. Designating a target under the Kingpin Act froze his assets in any jurisdiction with U.S. financial ties, blocked him from the international banking system, and signaled to his Colombian suppliers and any other international partners that the U.S. government had identified him at the highest tier. That designation was not an arrest, it was a declaration. It told the world that Ram Charan was now a named target of the United States government's full narcotics enforcement apparatus. The Colombian connection, the thread planted at the beginning of this story, became the central question of the investigation. A Jamaican trafficker does not reach Kingpin Act designation status by running a self-contained island operation. He reaches it by being a node in a network that the U.S. government has decided to dismantle from multiple ends simultaneously. The designation of Ram Charan was almost certainly coordinated with broader DEA intelligence about the Colombian supply chain he was connected to, and the question of exactly which cartel or trafficking organization sat at the top of that chain has never been answered in the full public record. What the public record does confirm is that the designation triggered a sustained international enforcement effort that ultimately produced an extradition request. Jamaica's extradition relationship with the United States had been tested at the highest possible level in 2010, when the Dudas Coke extradition crisis brought a state of emergency to West Kingston and left more than 70 people dead in the Tivoli Gardens incursion. The institutional and political cost of that moment had reshaped how Jamaica handled subsequent extradition requests. By the time the formal legal process around Ram Charan ran its course, the mechanism existed. The question was whether it would be used. It was. Liebert Ram Charan was extradited to the United States. He faced federal charges in a U.S. court, which is the destination that the entire architecture of the Kingpin Act and DEA enforcement was designed to produce. The extradition placed him inside the American federal justice system, where the evidentiary standards, the sentencing guidelines, and the prosecutorial resources are calibrated specifically for figures at his level. The federal system does not treat transnational cocaine kingpins the way a Jamaican court would treat a street-level trafficking charge. The sentences are measured in decades. He was 63 years old when the extradition process concluded. The waters off Montego Bay did not change when he left. The same maritime corridors that his operation had used continued to exist. The same geographic logic that had made Jamaica's North Coast a viable cocaine transit point remained in place. The same institutional pressures and resource limitations that had allowed his operation to run for years without being dismantled from the inside were still present. What changed was the specific organization he had built, the particular network of relationships and logistical arrangements he had constructed over years of operation. Networks do not disappear when their architects are removed. They fracture. Parts of them get absorbed by competing organizations. Parts of them go dormant and wait for new leadership. Parts of them collapse because they were held together by one man's specific relationships with specific Colombian suppliers. And when that man was gone, the Colombians found other Jamaican partners or rerouted through other Caribbean corridors. The investigation that produced Ramcharan's extradition was not designed to eliminate cocaine transit through the Caribbean. It was designed to dismantle his specific organization and remove him from the board. That is the honest ending of a story like this, not closure. Not the elimination of the thing he represented. The removal of one architect from a system that was larger than any one architect. What the designation and the extradition did establish permanently is the scale at which he operated. His name is on the Kingpin Act list alongside figures from the Sinaloa cartel, the Gulf cartel, organizations whose names are known globally. He is in that company, not because of garrison violence or political protection or diaspora retail networks, but because he built something that the American federal government considered significant enough at the transnational level to require the full weight of the Kingpin Act to address. A man who grew up on the north coast of Jamaica, who understood the gap between the resort face and the waterfront face of Montego Bay, who read the geography of the Caribbean cocaine trade and positioned himself as the reliable transit point, who built a relationship with Colombian suppliers significant enough to reach the Kingpin Act tier, and who was eventually sitting in a United States federal courtroom at 63 years old, facing the full consequence of that architecture. The Colombian connection, the one that was never fully named in the public record, is still the thread that does not close. Someone above him in that supply chain continued operating. Someone who knew what Ramcharan had built, who had relied on it, who had profited from it, simply found another corridor when the Jamaican end was removed. That is the part of the story the extradition could not reach. The part that lives in the space between what was proven in court and what was understood in the rooms where those decisions were made. The waters off Jamaica's north coast run the same color they always have. Blue-green in the shallows, deep blue where the shelf drops. And quiet, the way the sea is always quiet when it is not giving anything away. That was the story of Liebert Ramcharan. If this episode moved you, if it taught you something, if it kept you up, share it. Follow us if you have not already, and stay close, because on the next episode of Jamaican Gangster, we are going somewhere you are not ready for.